I'm Carla Pereira, KC1HSX, and this is ARRL Audio News, your weekly summary of news, features, and opinion from ARRL headquarters in Newington, Connecticut. For listeners who rebroadcast ARRL Audio News on repeaters, listen for the Morse code K character, followed by 4 seconds of silence. That's your cue to momentarily stop transmitting so that your repeater timer can reset. These are our top stories for Friday, March 9th. Valerie Hotzfeld, NV9L of Crescent City, Illinois, is the 2018 Hamvention Amateur of the Year. First licensed in 2006, Hotzfeld has been very active in local amateur radio clubs and in Aries. In 2017, Hotzfeld became engaged in public service, first traveling to Texas in the wake of Hurricane Harvey to help rescue small animals. She subsequently was deployed to Puerto Rico with the American Red Cross for 3 weeks as part of an amateur radio volunteer contingent, facilitating critical communications after Hurricane Maria. The Portage County Amateur Radio Service of Ravenna, Ohio, is Hamvention's 2018 Club of the Year. The club was established in November 2005, and it is an ARRL-affiliated special service club. Its members average more than 40 hours of club activities each month, including special interest groups, license training, contesting run from the club site, and club social events. Chip Cohen, W1YW of Belmont, Massachusetts, has received the Hamvention 2018 Technical Achievement Award. Licensed for 52 years, Cohen became a radio astronomer and astrophysicist, working at Arecibo, the National Radio Astronomy Observatory, the Very Large Array, and others. He started Fractal Antenna Systems with the late WA1ZWT in 1995 and is presently its CEO. Heriberto Perez, KK4DCX, Victor Torres, WP4SD, and Emilio Ortiz Jr., WP4KEY, are Hamvention's 2018 Special Achievement Award winners for their work during the aftermath of Hurricane Maria, which devastated Puerto Rico last September. Now safely home in the wake of their ill-fated de-expedition attempt to Bouvet Island, the members of the 3Y0Z Bouvet Island team hope to try again to mount an operation from what's been described as the most remote place on Earth. "We are not the kind of people to give up," de-expedition co-leader Bob Alphen, K4UEE, said in a statement last weekend. Quote, "The same thing happened when we were trying to activate Peter 1 Island in 2005. We came back the following year and we got it done," unquote. All told, the 3Y0Z team spent a month aboard MV Batanzos, the vessel that transported them from Chile to less than a mile off Bouvet to Cape Town, South Africa. Thanks to a joint effort by ARRL and the Vintage Radio and Communications Museum of Connecticut, or VRC-MCT, a Classic Gates BC-1T AM broadcast transmitter will enjoy a second life on the amateur radio bands for occasional use under the call sign W1AW or under the ARRL Headquarters Operators Club sign W1INF. Spearheaded by broadcast engineer Dan Thomas, NC1J, volunteers restored the 1 kilowatt transmitter to operating condition after obtaining it from the National Capital Radio and Television Museum in Bowie, Maryland. The museum will retain ownership of the transmitter while the league houses and maintains it on loan. The transmitter will be located in the ARRL lab, and Assistant Lab Manager Bob Allison, WB1GCM, said the transmitter could be on the air as W1AW during such operating events as the AM Rally and the Heavy Metal Rally. ARRL turned to AM guru and veteran broadcast engineer Timtron Smith, WA1HLR of Skowhegan, Maine, to handle shifting the BC1T from 1340 kHz to the ham bands. Various stipulations added a level of complexity to the endeavor. First, the transmitter had to be modified as little as possible, retaining original components. The 833 final amplifier tubes, better suited for broadcast band use, would be retained as would be the inductance-heavy tuning circuits. Another requirement, this one set by Smith, ambitiously called for the transmitter to function on 75 as well as on 160 meters. Each RF stage was converted, starting with the Colpitts oscillator, which offered 2 octal tube sockets to hold broadcast signals and a selector switch. More complicated was changing out feedback and loading capacitors in the oscillator stage, along with the buffer tank circuit. The driver tank circuit was next. Removing one half of the windings on the multiple tank, changing some connections, shortening long leads on RF bypass capacitors, and modifying the neutralization circuit were necessary. Initial tests on 250 watts on February 22nd demonstrated the success of the modifications and marked completion of the first phase of a new lease on life for the BC1T as ARRL's flagship AM amateur band transmitter. It is mere coincidence that the Titanic disaster in 1912, one of the worst maritime disasters in history, and the birth of Guglielmo Marconi in 1874, the developer of the wireless gear onboard the ill-fated ship, both occurred in April. Marconi Wireless Company radio operators on board the Titanic transmitted the distress signals after the gigantic vessel struck an iceberg in the North Atlantic on its maiden voyage. Co-located amateur radio special events in April will commemorate both events, which will take place from FN51, a rare grid square that's mostly water. ARRL International Grid Chase enthusiasts take note. Both events will be held at the Nauset Coast Guard Station in Eastham, Massachusetts. The Titanic Marconi Memorial Radio Association of Cape Cod operation will use W1MGY in recognition of the Titanic's MGY call sign. Operation will begin on Saturday, April 12th at 9 a.m. Eastern Time and continue until April 15th at 1:27 a.m. Eastern Time, the time when the ship Virginian heard Titanic's last radio message 106 years ago. W1MGY trustee Barry Hutchinson, KB1TLR, said plans call for coverage on all bands, mostly within the general class subbands on CW and SSB. Two stations are planned. The Saturday, April 21st International Marconi Day operation by the Marconi Cape Cod Radio Club will use the call sign KM1CC, which recognizes the former WCC shore station on Cape Cod. Operation will be on CW, SSB, and digital modes. If you're a Swedish amateur, you may have to pay a fee to operate your station at more than 200 watts output. Sweden's Post and Telecom Authority is considering lowering the transmitter output for general amateur radio stations to 200 watts PEP. Under a set of wide-ranging proposed regulatory changes affecting many radio services, radio amateurs wishing to run higher power would have to apply for a license and pay an annual fee of about $33. Amateur radio licenses were eliminated in Sweden in 2004, and amateur radio in Sweden is, quote, permission-free, unquote. But prospective radio amateurs still must pass an examination, typically arranged by Sweden's International Amateur Radio Union Member Society in Sweden. A certificate and a call sign, valid for life, are issued without any future fees. The maximum permitted power on most HF bands is 1 kilowatt. That power level would not necessarily be guaranteed under an amateur radio license, and conditions could apply. The rationale is that requiring a license for radio amateurs who want to run more than 200 watts will make it easier to trace any interference that those transmitters may cause.
I'm Steve Ford, WB8IMY, and I'm speaking with Bart Yonke, W9JJ, the ARRL Contest Branch Manager. And Bart, I'd like to know, where do we stand right now with the grid chase?
Hey, Steve. Well, we've just wrapped up February activity. The reporting deadline, by the way, is tomorrow, Saturday, March 10th at 2359 UTC. So that's Saturday evening tomorrow. So be sure to get all your uploads into Logbook of the World. Again, everything that you do and to be active in International Grid Chase and for its reporting is contingent on you uploading your logs to Logbook. So remember to do that. Activity was great, Steve. Nice and strong in the month of February as well. Again, driven by some of the de-expeditions that were active, as well as the ARRL DXCW contest, which was the third week of February. In looking at some of the activity we saw as compared to even January, again, there was almost 110,000 matched QSOs that were reported to Logbook of the World.
That's amazing.
And over half of those were digital. Again, during the winter months, the lower bands attracting a propagation, both technique and propagation modes that relied on some of the weaker signal management.
Do you think a lot of it's FT8?
I do, definitely. Yeah. That continues to build for sure. Also, for people looking at some of the statistics, and it's all out there on our leaderboard. By the way, to look at the International Grid Chase and the leaderboard, take a look at our webpage. That's www.arrl.org/international-grid-chase-2018, and check out that leaderboard. You can do a bunch of searches, including breaking down the digital modes to see specifically how given digital modes or given phone modes were active during the event. Looks like we had over 22,000 contributors to Logbook of the World during the month of February.
22,000.
Yep. And from that, over 110,000 QSOs were matched. It means that both parties had to complete uploads and have matching QSOs.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Okay. Well, thank you, Bart. Thank you for the update.
Appreciate it, Steve. Again, March contest will bring in another strong month, and we've got propagation on the rise. So get on, have fun, and be sure to upload your logs to Logbook of the World.
Absolutely. And now with this week's satellite update, here's Bruce Page, KK5DO.
On March 2nd, NASA announced the ninth round of selections for the CubeSat Launch Initiative, or CSLI. The first two AMSAT Gulf CubeSats, Gulf T and Gulf 1, were among the 21 missions recommended for selection. AMSAT must negotiate and execute a cooperative research and development agreement with NASA for each project to finalize selection. NASA anticipates a sufficient number of launch opportunities, but does not guarantee that all recommended payloads will be launched. Gulf T, or the Technology Evaluation Environment, will serve as a rapidly deployable low Earth orbit testbed for technologies necessary for a successful CubeSat mission to a wide variety of orbits. Gulf T and the Gulf program will provide for the development of the 5 and Dime field programmable gate array software-defined radio. We will have more information on the AMSAT Gulf program as it becomes available. The target date for launch of Gulf T is fourth quarter 2019. This is Bruce Page, KK5DO, for the ARRL Audio News.
I'm Steve Ford, WB8IMY, and this is the ARRL Audio News Propagation Forecast for Friday, March 9th. There are no sunspots visible at the moment, and the solar flux index is hovering around an anemic 68. Under these conditions, the best HF bands for DX this weekend are the ones below 20 meters. A stream of solar particles is due to reach us today and over the weekend, but the chance of a geomagnetic storm is forecast to be less than 50%. On VHF and UHF, hams in the upper Midwest are enjoying band openings on 2 meters and up. Strong activity is also being reported in central Texas and northern Florida.
And that concludes ARRL Audio News for this week. Our thanks to all contributors to this week's report. ARRL Audio News is produced by the American Radio Relay League, the National Association for Amateur Radio. For more information on amateur radio or the ARRL, visit us on the web at arrl.org. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter by searching for ARRL. If you have a question or comment about ARRL Audio News, email us at audionews@arrl.org. This program is copyright ARRL, all rights reserved. 73, and thanks for listening.